Silence isn't safety. Case number 013. Status, active investigation. Subject, expression. One identity, many voices. Alias, the translator. The room was full, not too crowded, but close enough that every chair made noise when people squeezed by to sit down. I sat quietly off the side, just listening while the person up front gave announcements. Voices whispered around me, papers shuffled, and the sound of shoes walking around. I smiled and tried not to stand out. Someone turned to me and said, "Primera vez?" First time. I nod and said, "Sí, primera vez." They thought I was a student. I didn't correct them, because in some ways I was. So yes, it was my first time. A few days earlier, I'd almost talked myself out of coming. I had a lot of concerns, but now sitting in that room, I knew God wanted me to show up. Then I heard my name, Magdalena, and my heart start pounding. I stood up, walked towards the front, and felt butterflies in my stomach. My hands felt cold, not from fear of teaching, but from fear of speaking. Somewhere, growing up, I learned silence before I learned confidence. And as I reached the front, the old voice of fear crackled like static. "They'll laugh at you. You'll sound wrong. There's someone better for this. They won't come back." That's when I realized fear sounds like interference. Field note, fear is fluent in every language. I stalled for a moment, sipped my coffee, pretending to check my notes, and then I turned around and looked up. 27 students stared right back at me, waiting. I took a deep breath, and with a nervous smile, I started anyway. "Hi, buenos dias. Mi nombre es Magdalena, y yo soy tu maestra para los próximos 15 semanas para aprender inglés." For those who don't speak Spanish, that means, "Hi, good morning. My name is Magdalena, and I'll be your teacher for the next 15 weeks to learn English." I smiled and added, "Pero voy a necesitar su ayuda," but I'm going to need your help. For a second, the room went completely quiet. That heavy kind of quiet, before anyone knows what to do kind of quiet. And they looked confused, wondering if they joined the wrong class. I mean, I would think so too. Field note, sometimes courage enters the room disguised as conversation. Then I saw one smile, and then another. And just like that, the room changed. See, that was my first day teaching English to adults who spoke Spanish. I thought I was there to teach, but little did I know God had brought me there to learn trust. Because sometimes the moment you step forward is the moment you face your deepest fear. Leadership, I've learned, doesn't always look like confidence. Sometimes it looks like trembling hands that move anyway. True leadership in God's kingdom isn't about having all the right words. It's about trusting the one who is the word. It's not about showing skill. It's about showing up, no matter if it feels too small, too ordinary, or even too soon. Jesus said in John 15:5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." That's where obedience begins, not in your confidence, but in our dependence. That classroom was training ground for something bigger. God was teaching me that obedience doesn't wait for perfect peace. It walks in faith while the heart still trembles. Every time we step toward what's uncomfortable but right, we turn down fear's volume and tune in to God's voice. That day, I wasn't just teaching English, I was learning trust. God turned my fear into faith. And so tonight, I'm reopening a cold case. The folder is labeled expression, but I call it the case of the red light tape recorder. Now, why does it keep resurfacing? Why do we keep editing ourselves before we even speak? That's where today's investigation begins. Field note, obedience doesn't wait for confidence. It records while the voice still shakes. You ever stop yourself mid-sentence, not because you don't know what to say, but because you're already worrying how it might sound? Maybe it's not in a classroom. Maybe it's at your kitchen table, in a team meeting, or sitting with a friend. you start to share an idea or a thought God has placed on your heart, and before the words even reach your lips, you pull them back. Why? You think, what if it sounds silly? What if it comes out wrong? Or worse, who am I to speak at all? I understand that feeling. It's a quiet kind of fear. The kind that looks like humility on the outside, but is really hesitation on the inside. Field note, fear doesn't always shout. Sometimes it whispers, and it calls itself wisdom. In families, it sounds like, I don't want to upset anyone, so I'll just stay quiet. At work, it sounds like, I'll speak up next time when I'm more ready. And in faith, it sounds like, someone else is more spiritual, they should say it instead. But when God gives you something to say, and you stay quiet, that silence doesn't keep the peace. It keeps you from growing. It's the same pattern that repeats itself in different rooms, home, business, ministry. The fear just changes its accent. We start convincing ourselves that our words, our contribution is too small or too messy to matter. We call it being careful, but most of the time it's just control, and control feels safer than courage. And yet Scripture never asks us to sound perfect. It asks us to speak faithfully. Moses stuttered. Jeremiah doubted. Paul spoke of his weakness again and again. God didn't fix their speech. He filled it. Their trembling became his testimony. So if your story feels too small to share, too broken to be useful, or too new to understand, you're not alone. Field note, obedience doesn't have to sound fancy. It just has to be honest. Since we were little, we've been told that speaking clearly means speaking perfectly. That before we say something real, we have to fix every crack, polish every word, and sound like someone who already knows the answer. But that's not how truth works. Truth doesn't need polish. It needs presence. Culture teaches that if we say it just right, people will finally listen. That perfection earns respect, and performance earns belonging. So we rehearse, filter, and practice until our words sound smooth, but our hearts grow silent. It's the performance of confidence without the peace of conviction. And somewhere along the way, we start to believe, if I mess up, I'll lose respect. If I sound unsure, they won't listen. If I say it wrong, maybe I shouldn't share the gospel. But the gospel turns that lie upside down. God doesn't build connection through perfection. He builds it through presence, his presence with us and his Spirit working through us. That means God doesn't wait for us to sound holy or polished before he listens. He steps close, right where we are, and helps us speak what's true. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." When Jesus spoke, he told stories, asked questions, and met people in their confusion. He spoke so truth could travel from his heart to theirs, not from a stage to a crowd. Field note, real truth doesn't need perfect grammar. It needs a willing heart. When we hide behind polished silence, we miss the kind of community that only honesty can create. Your imperfect story might be the bridge someone else needs to walk back towards hope. Your hesitant but honest, "me too," might be the first sound that breaks someone's loneliness. And that's what the enemy wants to quiet. Not your voice, but your witness. Because a quiet believer is an unrecorded testimony. The lie says, if you get it right, you'll belong. But grace says, you already belong. Now speak from that belonging. That's why obedience matters here. It's not about volume or polish. It's about trusting that what God gives you to say is enough. What if the goal was never to sound perfect, but to grow honest? When I think back to that classroom, I realize something. Obedience isn't only about doing the right thing. It's about becoming the right kind of person while doing it. We often think identity is found in quiet reflection, but it actually grows stronger when we move in faith. Truth isn't proven by staying silent. It's practiced when we speak. When God gives you a story, a lesson, or a word to share, it's not a finished speech. It's a seed. And seeds don't grow when they sit on a shelf. They grow when they're planted, messy, buried, unseen. Field note, faith matures through movement. The world says, don't speak until you're sure. But God says, speak forward, I will steady your voice. That's why imperfect expression is part of discipleship. It's how we learn to depend on Him instead of our delivery. Your voice doesn't have to prove your worth. It simply shows whose you are. And every time you speak with faith, even in a whisper, your confidence shifts from, can I do this? To, God is doing this through me. Remember Moses? He told God, I can't speak. And God didn't correct his grammar. He reminded Moses who made his mouth. Exodus 4, 11 and 12 says, who gave human beings their mouths? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. That's the pattern for every believer. God doesn't wait until you feel ready. He teaches you while you go. That's how obedience and identity walk together, step by trembling step. Field note, your voice strengthens by using it, not by saving it. So practice it. So maybe the next time fear whispers, you'll sound wrong, you can answer, good. That means I'm learning. Because identity doesn't live only in your thoughts. It grows through your voice. Every imperfect word spoken in faith is a small act of alignment, tuning your heart closer to the one who called you to speak in the first place. We're opening a new case tonight, one that's been sitting on my desk for a while. It's labeled expression. But the clues point to something deeper. Every report says the same thing. There's a moment right before the truth comes out, you know, the kind of silence where the whole room holds its breath. And that silence feels safe until it starts to suffocate what God has prepared you to say. So tonight's case begins with a simple question. When did we start mistaking silence for humility? And how do we trace it back to the kind of obedience that speaks, even when the voice still trembles? Over the next few minutes, we'll follow the clues, one voice, one choice, one confession at a time, until the pattern comes into focus. Because somewhere between the noise of opinions and the static of fear, there's a signal that cuts through. It's the sound of truth spoken in faith, the kind that echoes the courage of those who said, here I am, Lord, send me. But before we start collecting evidence, let me ask you something. What's the story God has asked you to tell? The one you keep editing before it ever reaches the mic. The story you replay in your head a dozen times, but never speak out loud. By the end of this case, you'll see what's really at stake when we stay quiet, and what freedom begins when we finally press record. Welcome to the Brand Fusionist Podcast, where faith, family, business, and brand strategy don't compete. They come together in quiet strength and steady purpose. Whether you're a builder of homes or brands, a storyteller finding your next sentence, or a creative woman learning to listen for God's direction in the noise, you belong here. I'm Magdalena, brand strategist, multi-passionate mentor, and a woman learning what it means to be faithful in every season, at home, in business, and in the heart. This is where identity meets voice, where we learn to build with discernment and walk with peace, so our lives speak truth even when the world gets loud. Faith, family, future, business with purpose. Let's walk this path together. We're back in series 3, the identity case files. Last time, we uncovered the neighborhood blueprint, a map showing how one life with many roles can stay held together by one steady designer. But even when you know where everything belongs, there's still a quiet question that lingers in the background. What if I speak and I get it wrong? Knowing who you are in Christ is one thing. Speaking from that identity out loud in a world full of opinions, that's another case entirely. This week, we're shifting the lens again, because once you stop comparing and start trusting, a new kind of pressure appears, the pressure to sound right, the pressure to say only what's safe, to stay quiet when conviction whispers, speak. I've got a new case on the desk and a strong lead on our next suspect. It's not loud, more of a static than a storm. It hides inside hesitation, edits your thoughts before they ever leave your mouth, and disguises fear as humility. But God hasn't called us to silence. He's called us to steward our voice with truth and grace. That's why this case matters. Today, we're learning what obedience really sounds like, not the loud kind that demands attention, but the steady kind that presses record while the voice still shakes. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And that's the posture we're chasing today. Faithful words, spoken in courage, shaped by love. First, let's define what we're dealing with. When most people hear the word obedience, they picture rules, a list to keep, a job to finish, or a test to pass. But in the Bible, obedience is far more personal. It's not about perfection, it's about trust. The world defines obedience as restriction. It says, you do what you're told, even if you disagree. That kind of obedience sounds like losing your voice or even your freedom. So what happens? We start to see obedience as control, hierarchy, or fear. Some of us rebel against it. No one tells me what to do. Others twist it into performance. If I do everything right, maybe God will approve of me. And that's why so many of us stay quiet when God calls us to speak. We think obedience means getting it perfect, saying it right, saying it strong. But perfection is the world's version of obedience. Faithfulness is God's. In Scripture, obedience is relationship in motion. It's love that listens. It's trust that moves. It's not blind following. It's believing God enough to act on His word, even before you see how it ends. Does that make sense? For example, when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, Jesus simply said, "Come." Peter didn't know how he'd make it, but he stepped out anyway. His faith wobbled, but his obedience moved him closer to Jesus. That's what obedience looks like, moving toward God, even when the details are unclear. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Obedience isn't how we earn his love, it's how we express it. Think of Abraham. When God told him to go, he didn't have a map. He just had a promise. Hebrews 11:8 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out, not knowing where he was going." That's biblical obedience, movement without full visibility. It's the step that builds the path. Field note, faith grows louder through movement, not mastery. Obedience is not a one-time act. It's a rhythm of trust. It's press and record even when your voice shakes, because you trust who's listening more than you fear who's watching. So if the world says, "Wait until you're ready," then the word says, "Go, I'll teach you as you walk." That's what this case is about, not rule-keeping, but learning how obedience turns hesitation into movement. Maybe you felt this before, quietly. "I don't want to sound wrong. I don't want to make this about me. I don't want to say the wrong thing and regret it later." That doesn't make you afraid. It makes you aware. You've been breathing air of the world that whispers, "Wait until you're perfect." But Scripture doesn't ask for perfect. It asks for faithful. So maybe the question isn't, "Will I say it just right?" Maybe it's, "Will I say it in trust?" If God has placed a true word in your hands, the safest place for it is not silence, it's obedience. You don't need a louder voice, you need a willing heart. 1 Samuel 3:10 says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." That's the posture of faith, not perfect words, but an open heart ready to respond. Case note, suspect profile emerging. Alias, the editor. Method, edits your words before they're spoken. Weapon, fear of opinions. So here's the pattern. You think of something true and kind to share. The inner editor whispers, "Not good enough, not today." You save it, polish it, hide it, and then you never share it. We call this wisdom, but it's often fear. And when fear sits in the editor's chair, obedience gets pushed to the side. That's how the suspect moves. Quiet, logical, convincing. I've met that editor myself. Sometimes she sounds polite, like she's helping. Maybe you should wait. Maybe no one needs to hear this. But every time I listened, peace felt farther away, not closer. See, fear never edits to protect you, it edits to silence you. That's the moment where alignment begins, when you stop letting fear proofread what God has already approved. Field note, you can't edit your way into peace. You can only obey your way into it. Picture a small recording room. There's a mic on the table, a red light waits to turn on, and you can hear the building sounds like old vents, quiet voices in the hallway, a phone ringing down the hall. And there are three things in this room. The message, what God has placed in your heart to say. The noise, opinions, the what ifs, old fears, the pull of please. The button, the next small step of obedience. The message is clear enough. The noise never really leaves. And the question is the button. You don't need the room to be silent. You just need to choose which sound gets power. Obedience is the sound that turns the red light on. It's the moment your faith says, Lord, I trust you more than my fear. When you press that button, the static fades, the message begins, and what once felt ordinary becomes worship. Hear this, being careful with your words isn't wrong. Wanting to honor God with your voice is good. In scripture, even Moses said, I'm slow of speech. Paul admitted he didn't come with fancy words, and yet God used them both. So if your hands shake when you speak, that doesn't mean you're lacking. It means you're learning to trust the one who gave you your voice. Just remember, discernment listens, fear freezes. The fear you feel is not your master. It's only the static before the truth, and the one who called you knows how to speak through the noise. So here's our plan for tonight. We're going to practice obedience in motion, small, simple, steady. We'll speak one small line of truth. We'll press one quiet record. And we'll learn one gentle way to share without performing. In a few minutes, I'll give you a few simple field tools so you can practice faith right where you are, in your kitchen, in your car, or before you hit post. Remember, it's not about doing more, it's about depending more. The Spirit leads when we move in trust. Field note, new lead confirmed. The world says, wait until you're ready. The word says, walk, and I will teach you as you go. Next step, first witness on the stand, your own story in one sentence. Field note, case number 013, continued. Evidence bag, fear of opinions. Time, 10:28 a.m. Every case has a pattern. This one appears when the red light is waiting. Tonight, we'll trace three clues. Block, what freezes your voice. Breakthrough, what frees it. And brand vision, how a steady voice sounds in every room. Let's open the first file. The evidence from last week is still warm. Every time I think the noise fades, it comes back in a new form. Not hiding in our systems this time, but speaking through our own voices. It slips between our words, between what we mean to say and what we think people want to hear. Last time we traced how comparisons clouded identity and how God's design holds all things together. But this time, the case shifts. This one isn't about management anymore. It's about expression. It's about what happens when you finally open your mouth after a long silence. It's about obedience, how God shapes our words when fear tries to edit them. We'll follow three leads again, the block, the breakthrough, and the brand vision, each one showing how obedience turns noise into signal and fear into faith. Because when God calls you to speak, your words become worship, even if they still shake. So grab your recorder and keep the line open. Tonight, we're not just collecting evidence, we're learning how to speak in faith even while the voice still trembles. The block has a simple name, excellence before obedience. It says, don't speak until it's perfect. I know that voice. I learned it young. I grew up hearing two languages at home, English from my mom, Spanish from my dad. My mom, born in Guatemala, used to tell me, speak English so you can do well in school. My dad, from Honduras, would smile and say, habla español conmigo. Talk in English with me. And so I tried to do both. Every day sounded like a puzzle of words, half English, half Spanish. Outside our home, that mix didn't always sound pretty or helpful. At church, the youth group kids laughed when I spoke. My grammar was wrong and my accent tangled. They'd ask me to repeat myself not because they wanted to understand, but to tease. So little by little, I stopped talking. I only spoke to my sister because she understood me. That's how fear trained me. Better to say nothing than say it wrong. But fear never warned me how high the cost of silence would be. That silence followed me for years into adulthood, marriage, motherhood, and ministry. I still spoke Spanish, but rarely with confidence. I only spoke Spanish when I needed to. So if someone asked me to speak in front of others, I'd find a reason to say no and just shy away. Later, I met my husband. At the time, he was my boyfriend, and his family spoke only Spanish. They were from El Salvador. I thought, great, now I have to learn by force. I realized if I wanted to make and keep relationships, I had no choice. And even when I tried with courage, sometimes they would laugh. Maybe they didn't mean to hurt me, but it did. They didn't know my story. They didn't know my silence. I can laugh now, but not then. Back then, I was sensitive. Eventually, I started to speak again. I practiced at church and was able to make friends. And yes, I told them, if you make fun of me, I'm not talking to you again. Years later, when the offer came to teach English to Spanish-speaking adults, all those old fears came rushing back. The fear of being laughed at, the fear of failure, the fear of not being good enough. Even though my Spanish had improved, my confidence hadn't. At home, raising my boys, I use Spanish so they'll grow up bilingual. Sometimes I'd say things wrong, they'd copy me, and then my husband would correct us both. But after turning 4, they switched to English, probably because of the surround sound of it. But still, we keep Spanish alive in family and church. Now, my world growing up was a blend of voices, Guatemalan, Honduran, Salvadorian, and also Dominican. Our pastor is from the Dominican Republic. So the room is a blend of accents. And I would help, serve, and smile. And sometimes I would stay quiet if I didn't have the right words. Or I would switch to Spanglish, a mix of English and Spanish spoken intertwinedly. Being bilingual is more than speaking 2 languages. It's learning to listen in layers. It's hearing what's behind the words. Somewhere in that mix of English and Spanish, God was teaching me how to listen not just to people, but to Him. The pattern is the same even if your story sounds different. Maybe at home, when you hold back with family. At work, when you have an idea but think someone else could say it better. Or online, when that whisper says, who do you think you are? The pattern is the same. Excellence before obedience. That's the false rule. That's the block. Field note, the block has been identified. I almost said no, not because I didn't care, but because I didn't feel ready. I told myself I'd say yes when I sounded better, when I could make sense. My husband said it was a good opportunity, but he left the choice to me. That's how this suspect works. It whispers, don't speak until you sound smart. Don't share until it's polished. Don't teach until you're perfect. But fear doesn't protect you. It pauses the outcome. Then came the classroom, the rows of chairs, 20-plus adults waiting to learn English. I was the teacher, but I felt like a student again. My accent wasn't perfect. My words still sounded like puzzle pieces. And so I told them the truth. Buenos dias, I'm your teacher, and I need your help. We're going to learn from each other. 1 second of silence, then a smile, then another, and that room changed. Field note, honesty opens hearts. Obedience beats polish. God reminded me my voice was never meant to be perfect. It was meant to be useful. I didn't have to perform. I just had to show up and serve. My job was to help others face the same fear I once carried. Moses said, I am slow of speech. God said, I will help you speak. found in Exodus 4:12, Paul said he didn't use fancy words so the power would be God's, not his. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. Field note, God gives the message. We carry it. We are not performers of perfection. We are translators of his grace. I want you to think of a radio. The message already exists. You just turn the dial until the voice comes through. That's what happened in that classroom. When I spoke truth instead of pretending, the static dropped. Fear lost the mic. Faith took it. But that static still tries to sneak back in, sometimes through discouragement, sometimes through waiting, sometimes through the sting of just rejection. Obedience doesn't silence hardship. It gives you a place to stand inside it. Because the same God who helped me speak that day still teaches me to tune back in every single time. Now, when I speak, whether in English, Spanish, or the beautiful fusion between, I remember that every language is a tool and every voice is a gift. So let's turn the mirror the right way. Here's the breakthrough. Obedience doesn't wait for confidence. It presses record while the voice still shakes. Identity doesn't begin with how clearly you speak. It begins with who gave you the message. When Christ is the source, the pressure shifts. You stop performing and start translating his grace into your world. You don't need polish, you need presence. Home, business, family, ministry all become classrooms of grace. They start sounding like one steady story instead of scattered echoes. That's what faithfulness looks like when it's seen correctly. And that's how clarity replaces comparison. Because when fear loses volume, faith finds its voice. You stop trying to sound perfect and start trusting the one who speaks through you. Again, Exodus 4:12. Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Scripture reminds us that readiness is learned in motion, not before it. Culture says, speak only when you're polished. The word says, speak when you're called. The difference is, one demands approval and the other depends on presence. Christ is our foundation. When fear holds the mic, all we hear is static. Now watch how this turns the dial. If home is the classroom, then your words become lessons in grace. You teach through how you speak to your children, not how perfectly you phrase it. If business is the microphone, then your message becomes a ministry. You stop waiting for polish and start showing up to serve with honesty. If church or service is the radio station, then your voice becomes an echo of his. You speak what God gives, trusting the Spirit to translate what grammar can't. We stop asking, do I sound ready? And we start asking, am I being faithful? That's what faith sounds like. Steady, surrendered, still learning. Field note, new pattern emerging. When God holds the mic, fear loses its frequency. Field note, new suspect identified. Alias, the static. Primary method of operation, distorting the message through doubt. Distraction. Case status, open. Fear never truly disappears. It just changes its sound. Sometimes it's loud, sometimes it's quiet. But every time we choose obedience, the signal clears. This time, we're not chasing the sound of confidence. We're learning the sound of faith. So what does this look like in the way you speak, lead, and live? My identity begins in Jesus. That's where my voice begins. So I speak from peace, not pressure, at home, in friendships, in leadership, even online. I want my words to carry one tone, truth spoken with grace. Then I steward what God entrusts, the stories, the people, the influence, the moments. I measure success not by sound, but by surrender. I move at a peace-paced rhythm, not a rushed one. This is how it shows up in daily life. At home, when you say, I'm sorry, and mean it. When you pray with your children, even if it's short, even if there's tension. At work, when you share one honest idea, even if someone else sounds louder. When you build a business with integrity, not image. When you post online to point to Jesus, not yourself. When you encourage a sister face to face, not just through text. This isn't about being perfect. It's about being aligned, the same person, the same tone, wherever God places you. God uses imperfect words to carry his perfect truth. Even silence can honor him when it's filled with prayer and discernment. And when you live this way, peace grows, not because you control the outcome. I'm going to repeat that. Not because you control the outcome, but because you rest in the one who already does. Field note, new pattern confirmed. The static was never the enemy. It was evidence, proof of a heart learning to tell the difference between fear and faith. That's the picture of a faithful woman, one who speaks from her identity in Christ, not from what the world whispers to become. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. Presence over polish, faith over fear, stewardship over silence. Expression was the clue all along. And now for our field kit. These are small habits that keep fear from taking the mic. We never close a case with conclusions only. We need practices that keep the pattern from returning. So here are your tools. The ones that keep your reflection clear when comparison tries to creep back in. These aren't quick fixes. They're small alignments. Because a faithful voice isn't something you'll find. It's something you train. Tool 1, the 90-second start. This first tool is all about preparation. What happens before you speak? Before you answer, teach, or post, take a short pause and ask yourself, am I speaking to impress or to serve? If it's to impress, the words will feel heavy, like you're carrying them. If it's to serve, they come out lighter, even if your voice still shakes. I remember the first time I recorded for this podcast. I was so nervous about how I'd sound. But then I started having real conversations with people. And that's when I realized fear fades when the focus shifts from how do I sound to how can I help? For faith-rooted listeners, this is a quiet moment to pray. Lord, guide my words before they leave my mouth. That's from Psalms 19:14, a prayer King David wrote asking God to make his words and thoughts pleasing to him. For faith-curious listeners, think of it like a motive check before your message. A moment to slow down and ask, am I trying to prove something or to bring something good to the table? Field note, service clears the static faster than self-focus. This tool helps you prepare your heart before you speak. Later you'll learn tool 4, the 5 prayer word, which helps you realign your heart when fear shows up mid-sentence. But both tools are about trust. One opens the conversation with peace, the other keeps it open when fear tries to close it. Tool 2, the mirror test. This is a daily 60-second type of test. Every morning when you get ready for the day, look in the mirror and say, my words are not for approval. They're for sharing God's wisdom with grace. You're reminding yourself that your voice was never meant to prove worth. It was designed to reflect truth. Then read this verse on a sticky note. Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Exodus 4:12. Moses didn't start confident. He started obedient, and that's enough. This practice separates clarity from control. You don't have to know how the message lands. You just have to speak what's true. Field note, mirrors reflect light. They don't create it. Tool 3, the dial practice. This is a 10-minute tool that's done weekly. Picture a radio dial. You know that slow turn between stations, the crackle, the static, and then suddenly clarity? That's what this next tool is all about. Grab your notebook and draw 2 short columns. On one side, write the word noise. On the other side, write signal. And then ask yourself, what's been loud in my week and what's actually true? Noise is what everyone says you should do, and signal is what God's word says you must do. So let me give you some examples. Here's what it sounds like in real life. Noy says, if my kids act perfect, I'm a good mom. But God Signal says, train them in grace and truth. He handles the hurt. Noy says, I have to get every subject right in homeschool. Signal says, be faithful in small things. Perfection belongs to God. Noy says, if I don't hustle harder, my business will fall apart. Signal says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Noy says, if I stay quiet at work, people will overlook me. Signal says, let your speak be gracious, seasoned with salt. Noy says, posting often proves I'm relevant. Signal says, whatever you do, do it for the Lord, not for men. Each time you sort those sounds, you're tuning your frequency, learning which voice brings peace and which one only brings pressure. Field note, faith rooted in scripture refines your frequency. Truth steadies your tone. Tool 4, the 5-word prayer. This one's simple, and it can be done anytime fear returns. Lord, make my words yours. You can say it before a meeting, before a tough conversation, a family talk, or a social post. It's a reset for your motives, a reminder of who holds the mic. Faith-rooted listener, remember, God doesn't need perfect speech. He works through surrendered hearts. Faith-curious listener, think of it as learning to speak with intention, not impulse. Field note, surrender is the shortest distance between fear and faith. Because identity isn't proven through perfect words, it's practiced through faithful ones. So when fear whispers, wait until you're ready, you can answer, I already am because he has me. Field note, truth confirmed. Let's bring this evidence back to the source. Exodus 4, verses 10 through 12 says, but Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. The evidence shows that readiness isn't found in your ability. It's found in his presence. God doesn't choose the confident. He equips the surrender. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 3 through 5 says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The evidence shows that your trembling doesn't disqualify you. It displays his strength. The message doesn't lose power when your voice shakes. That's often when his power speaks loudest. John 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The evidence shows that clarity isn't about volume. It's about relationship. Confidence grows when you recognize his truth above the noise. This is how we trade performance for presence. This is how we turn fear into faithfulness. That's your threefold truth. God forms the message. Christ strengthens the messenger. The Spirit carries the sound. That's how you close the loop. Field note, suspect captured. That whisper that says, you must be perfect before you speak, has been confronted with truth. Case status, resolved. For now, but the next file's already on my desk. And something tells me, the story behind what we say runs deeper than we thought. I think I'll keep this line open. Before we close this case, let's pause for one question. When fear tries to edit your voice, whose approval are you tuning into? Write this down. What would faith sound like if I stopped editing myself? That's progress worth keeping. Next time, we'll investigate what happens when the sound doesn't come from us, but from what we're listening to. That's where the next investigation begins. Action for the next 24 hours. Find one place to use your voice this week, home, work, or online. Say what needs to be said with honesty and grace. Then afterward, write one sentence. What happened when I chose courage over comfort? That's how we learn to move from silence to steadiness, one small act of obedience at a time. You don't need a perfect voice. You belong to a perfect Savior. Your worth doesn't shift with performance. It's anchored in Christ. Speak from belonging, not from proving. Lead from peace, not from pressure. And as you do, faith begins to sound steady, not loud, but clear. Faithfulness isn't polish, it's presence. Wait, hold on. Field note, there's a new lead. An unexpected call is coming through. For now, if this case helped you quiet the noise or help you name the patterns that keep you stuck, share it with a friend who's learning to do the same. And if you're ready to build your business with strategy, structure, and purpose, the kind that aligns faith, family, and work without the burnout, join the waitlist at brandfusionist.com. You'll get early access when new tools and trainings release soon. No pressure, just preparation. Faith, family, future, business with purpose. This is the Brand Fusionist Podcast. Wait, hold on. Hello? I hear something. Sounds like someone is listening on the other side. We will see where the trail leads next time.